All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
Oh, my God.
It has happened before, and to this organization.
But does this team have what it takes to get it done? Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts Podcast.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five, dead or alive.
NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
Welcome to another week, everybody, at the NYJ Couch Scouts Podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jeff fans?
This team's coming off another W. Are we starting to bite the apple here, Bust?
No, not at all. Not biting any apples.
I want to so bad.
Of course, every week I go into it and think, oh, we can win this game. No question. We have enough talent on this team.
Did you feel that way 2:15 last Sunday when Fitz was 3 of 13 for 30 yards and we were getting wiped off the floor by the Cleveland Browns?
No, this is what I thought of his comments last week of saying, you know, when no one's behind you and you play pissed off, maybe you play better. Oh, yeah? Then you come out and go 3 for 13?
You look at a guy like Quincy, though, and he's playing his heart out. To me, Brandon Marshall, and take it as you may, call it nitpicking, ticky-tack, whatever you want to call it. Did you see Brandon Marshall after Q made that play and shedded 3-4 Browns and took it into the end zone? He could care less. Meanwhile, Bilal Powell's running down the sideline like he was scoring 6. Hand up, going nuts. And I looked at Marshall and I almost said, at that point in the game, still down 2 scores, it almost seemed like Marshall was wiping his hands with the situation. It was just disappointing. Again, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it was disheartening to me.
I don't think you are. I think that he is extremely mad at himself. How many balls have we seen him drop that are right on him this year?
Leads the NFL in drops since last year.
Unbelievable. For a guy that speaks out more than anybody on this team, and we all know that I love Brandon Marshall. For a guy that speaks out and wants to be a leader and comes out this year and plays horrible, in my opinion. Absolutely horrible.
You know what I'm sick of? Just if we're going to get on Brandon Marshall, catching that 15-yard in-cut and then hitting a stiff arm, coming back like he's hitting the L1 button, losing 3.5 yards, and then getting tripped up.
Why is he never running up the field?
Just
he's
go
always
right
trying to. I don't understand.
Just get upfield.
Tuck the ball and go.
When you were 24, when you were 26, you had the speed to turn that corner and make something bigger out of it. Let's get upfield. Let's get what we can get. And let's get back to the huddle for 1st and 10. I mean, it's just.
Don't even talk to me about getting back to the huddle, because the leader on that offense is the quarterback. How slow can he get the offense back to the huddle? Oh, my God.
You brought it up.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The leader, the so-called leader. Get the. We're snapping the ball with 2 seconds to go on the clock.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you're not rushing the team back to the huddle. You're not rushing the team to the line. It never changes, no matter what.
I can get behind you on that one. We were just talking about Brandon Marshall, though, and I brought up Bilal Powell. Can we talk about the explosion? And Brian Winters said after the game, he runs nasty. Bilal Powell looks different than Matt Forte with the ball in his hands right now. And I don't mean to say that and sound amateur, where of course he looks different. He's a different ball player, but it looks more explosive to me.
Can we see the ball in his hands more?
That's exactly where I'm going with it. We've started to see that ratio of carries start to get to that 50-50 or closer in that range, but it's nowhere near where it needs to be right
and
now.
And you just bringing this up reminds me of we started the season by giving Quincy the ball when he was the third, fourth receiver. Now he's the second receiver, and we don't give him the ball.
Nah, come on.
No, we don't give him the ball. With the, as much as we should, we do not give him the ball.
They get paid, too, and they scheme, too. And with Decker down, and not that Austin Seferian Jenkins did much when he was in there, but with Decker down and no tight end threat, you can now double Q. You can now roll toward Q. With Marshall playing, as you said, terrible right now, maybe teams are comfortable putting a Joe Hayden on Brandon Marshall and covering Quincy Enunwa as if he's the one.
To my point, Fitzpatrick doesn't read the damn field. So knowing that they're double covered or not, I don't think our quarterback knows that. I think our quarterback is throwing it, checking it down every other play or running the ball. So us thinking that he's double covered, how the hell do we know?
Here's my,
well, he's not double covered. And we're not. And you know what? Half the time, he's open in the middle of the field, or he's open. We're like, why is Fitz not throwing this ball?
Because he came off that read one or two reads ago. And whether that's right or wrong, indifferent right now. Just an explanation for that. But I can't get behind you with, can we get Q the ball more? Because you see Q make the explosive play. Now a D's going to be honing in on him. Q made another big play on the deep ball. And to me, it almost looked like he was gonna break away and show off that speed again, but he almost looked surprised that he caught it so clean. There was just a little bit of, when you say there's a hitch in a quarterback's motion, there almost seemed like there was a hitch in him catching that ball, and it slowed him down just a tick, or he's got another 70-yarder on his resume right now.
For me, Quincy, when he gets the ball in his hands, he goes 0 to 100 no matter what position he's in. And it's just awesome to see, and I hope we get the ball in his hands more. I think that he's the most explosive player on offense.
To me, Robbie Anderson had a slow start. I don't want to call it a rough start to the game. I felt there was a couple routes where, not to sound like I'm biting off of the announcers, but he needed to attack the ball more. He needed to come back
downhill
to the
ball. He doesn't come back to the ball.
And that's something that can be coached, but more so, that's effort. That's wanting it. And I'm not saying that he doesn't. You see him high point a ball like we haven't seen a Jets receive. Last year, Brandon Marshall attacking a ball. That's what you see when Robbie has that step or two on a go route, and it's underthrown, as it consistently is right now.
I was just going to say, going to go right back at Fitzpatrick's problem. This is his problem, not Robbie's problem. The problem is Fitzpatrick is late, waiting to the last minute, running out of the pocket, and bullying a ball to a covered Robbie Anderson. I don't understand.
This is why the arm strength of Geno Smith was so intriguing, though.
Even so, I just still think the read is bad. I still think the read is bad. And in him to almost get tackled on one of his roll out of the pockets and toss the ball up like the ball's not important. I don't understand. Cover the ball up. Get down on the ground. The play was already trashed.
3 of 13 for 30 yards, as we said earlier.
Unbelievable.
I promise you, me, you, anyone out there listening, taking a snap, staring at the rush with pure fear, as any of us would be, and just finding Bilal Powell or Matt Forte somewhat consistent, we have double those numbers at half.
I think so.
There's
too.
No doubt.
I think I'm a Pro Bowler in the Jets' eyes at this point.
Everybody's a Pro Bowl, especially if you're talking our quarterback position. But that's something we talk about every week as it is. We don't need to elaborate any more on that. How'd you feel about the offensive line play? How'd you feel about Breno coming back? We still saw a little bit of that rotation, but to me, that was a guy in Ajalana they were clearly a bit more comfortable with than Quale. Quale isn't full strength, I believe wasn't active again. And Breno's just getting back, activated on Saturday. You can't truly, even with 2 weeks of practice, week and a half, you can't truly expect a full slate of snaps from Breno week one.
Even with Wesley Johnson out there without Nick Mangold, I think the offensive line looked a lot better.
Hell of a game by Wesley Johnson.
But we also play in the Browns. So the run holes looked huge, I thought, and I didn't think their D-line played well.
Can I touch on that, though? Because I can't. Emmanuel Ogba, to me, I wasn't the biggest backer draft season. Impressive on Sunday. Nassib, I looked at, does his game translate to the NFL? Can he turn the corner?
He played well.
He played well. No, knocked down a couple balls, showed the smarts when he couldn't get there. Danny Shelton's a load.
Oh, no, no. But as a scheme, they just played bad, and they've played bad the whole season. So for us to scheme out a run game on them, I think that we played pretty well in that sense.
Excuse me. Nothing to do with the New York Jets. North Turner just resigned after 3 seasons with the Vikings. That's a big move league-wise.
Yeah, that is big.
Holy, I mean, a coach walking away with his pedigree.
Maybe he's getting a call from Jacksonville.
With the record, then he ain't going nowhere else. It's bad enough to walk away from your team right now, but literally just came in, Schefter reporting, so you know it's gold. That's going to have a trickle-down effect in the NFC North, if you ask me. Getting back to it, my apologies. Just felt that was big enough to break in there and let you know.
No, not saying that they don't have talent on their defense. They got Demiro Davis over there, baby. They got talent. They got talent. But
I was happy for him to make that one big play. Nice string out on the tackle. Good stick. He made a nice play.
But I think we just out-schemed them on the run game.
And Second half.
Yeah, and I think the offensive line played well. I think Ryan Clady looks like our weakest link at this point. And he getting pushed back all the plays. He's getting penalties.
Something that now can be talked about.
Yeah, he literally looks like the weak link right now.
He's almost out of it.
And obviously, he's a new organization. It's a new team. He's coming back from injury. I say, you know, I'm not scared to bring him back.
We're going into week 9. You're going to tell me about comfort?
I'm not scared to bring him back next year. Obviously, I don't have a question in that. And I think Breno played like he always does.
The only reason I'm comfortable bringing him back, and barring any injury or any really a continuing of the play that we've seen, is because he is a left tackle. He has the feet to be a left tackle. He's shown it in this league. It's unbelievably hard to find.
Exactly.
And I don't need another hole on this football team going into 2017.
And he's had success in the NFL, so you don't want to get rid of a player like that, even if he's had some headaches and getting us frustrated. I think you got to keep Clady in there. He's a big body. And he has been a good left tackle. So
Brian Wynn is another solid game. And two weeks in a row, Dakota Dozier and Brandon Schell coming in our jumbo package and doing their job. On the touchdown run, Brandon Shell's got a pancake. And on Forte, on the 4th-and-1 that he wound up scoring on.
Brian Winters, right? Comes around.
Dakota Dozier completely logged him, though. Completely logged him, ass to ball. I mean, it was perfectly done.
One of those two touchdowns for Forte, I know Brian Winters came around and just knocked the hell out of the back.
I believe that's the same one we're talking about. He picks it up, but what I'm bringing up is Dozier sealing the edge and getting his guy turned. Forte kind of got a little skinny through the hole and walked in.
By the way, he looked very slippery on Sunday.
Yes, he did.
Very slippery. He looked very, very good.
Forte's a pro's pro, man. He never looks to me like he's not prepared.
And he's in the greatest shape, man, for being one of the oldest running backs.
I'll give you that. Anywhere else offensively you looking to go with last Sunday?
No tight end look. We already talked about that.
I was happy to see Bostic get a little bit more of a burn, though. I asked for that a week ago, and I was happy to see it.
Either way, I don't think the tight end has any inkling of any kind
win
of
loss bearing.
Doesn't
on
matter.
New York
doesn't matter.
Right
exactly.
Now,
thank
yeah.
you. I think the wide receivers. I think Peak had that one catch that was very impressive. He uses his hands.
I'm telling you, man. We say it all the time. That kid and Braylon had just stone hands at points in his career.
Hey, let's not hate on Braylon.
That kid looks like Braylon Edwards out there to me. I'm sorry.
I love it. I think and he plays well on special teams. Man, punt team. He is down there. And so is Justin Burris, who made a nice play on the goal line.
4 or 5 rounds in the draft from where you're projected or supposed to go, and you'll play with a chip on your shoulder too.
Yeah, I think they all played well. Offensively, obviously, Fitzpatrick just sucks.
We're not going there again. Defense.
I'm done.
Not doing it. See you later. Shut it down on that end. Defensive line, I'm opening up with.
Because
to me, Sheldon looked like a guy who, when his boy sent him a text message that he might be on the block or they might be fielding, he looked like he was mentally checked out himself on Sunday.
Did they bench him for a little while?
I don't think it was a benching. I think it was
took himself out of the
and
game.
Something else we asked for, a little bit more of a rotation. And he said after the game, I don't know. I think it was just a rotation, but I'm good. And then Janae Coakley asked him again, you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm good. He was happy with the win. I want to buy that Sheldon truly is that type of guy. I really do. He comes across that way. He comes across sincere, and he wants to win. But Sheldon knows he should be out there every snap on defense.
I totally think that Sheldon is a mature guy. Obviously, he's got some off the field issues, but to me, that doesn't affect how he speaks in an interview and how he's always speaked in it.
But he's emotional in his interviews. You look back at Minnesota a couple years ago when the season ended 2 years ago. I didn't come here to lose.
But he never speaks the truth. But he never hates on his team. He never hates on himself. He never hates on anybody, okay? So he's always there being a respectable guy. Yeah, he doesn't want to lose. He's a competitive NFL player. He's a defensive lineman, even more competitive than most. He's never going to hate on his team, though. And he's never going to say, you know, I'm sorry to bring Fitzpatrick up, but he's never going to say, hey.
Justin, I promise you, he was sincere when he said he was good. I watched the post-game live. I even rewound it to see if I could catch anything. He was sincere.
No, I
agree. He truly didn't care.
No.
In a good way. He truly didn't care.
No, because he's there to be a teammate. He's there to be a teammate. Though,
on the field, I'm not going to say I didn't see the effort. It was just, I kind of didn't see the effort, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? I got to say it. And it's not something we've seen from Sheldon in the worst of worst games that we've had this year.
Yeah, I'm, Sheldon and having talks about him getting traded this week, it's sad. It's sad because I think that
how much backing did you put behind that early on? And then how much backing did you put behind that when you heard the Jets were placing phone calls?
Like, at first I was like, man, you might as well keep him for the season. You might as well. We stink right now. We want to know where we're going to go defensive line wise. But then when I heard that the Jets were making calls, obviously I don't know what they're trying to do. Are they getting ready for the offseason already? Is that what they're doing or what?
No, I think they were looking at it as Maldon's gotten a little more burned the last 2 weeks. Jordan Jenkins probably fully healthy now. Maybe we can get by at the outside linebacker position where we've been putting Sheldon to have all our guys on the field, and we could capitalize on an asset right now. And it's not bad business. I think if we had another two losses on the schedule, I think you might have seen the Jets willing to take a little less, which I don't get, because to me, it's different than the Jamie Collins situation. And you have Sheldon going into a year that a team is controlling him. We talked about it when we talked about Mo. It was having to pay him and coming off an injury. With Sheldon, the off the field's going to hurt him, but you have him locked up and you get that one full year rental.
But are we going to do what we did to, like, off the top of my head, John Abraham. Yeah, are we going to do?
Jonathan Vilma.
Are we going to do? But John Abraham had such a career. To me, it's almost sack wise, it's Hall of Fame.
But I don't look at John Abraham as what we missed out on, even though he is a pass rusher and that's a premium, because it got us Nick Mangold.
You're always looking at what you get.
I had a hell of a time with Abraham and Ellis for 4 years, and then it got me Nick Mangold for a decade. I can't argue with that.
I don't want it to turn into like what we did with Revis, and we did get Sheldon, but then we got D Milner as well, and you know, D didn't even turn out to be a player.
Not to waste too much time on Sheldon, that gives me a perfect opportunity to move on here. Where is the effort from Darrell Revis?
I have this written down right on my notepad right here. Old or what?
I'm gonna go with or what right now, because I can't buy he fell off the cliff like this. I can't. I don't see any effort. This man, including David Harris, was possibly the best tackler on this football team in his first tenure with us.
Would Darrell Revis take a pay cut over retiring?
Good question.
Because no team wants him at this point.
No, they've seen.
Okay. I don't think so.
Oh, you
for his
you
money,
that.
They don't want
okay,
him.
Okay, thank you.
They don't want him.
Where I thought so you went, and then you backtracked on me.
So to him, we can cut him, not pay him $17 million. Or he could take a pay cut.
For us, it's smarter, even with kicking the can down the road, the phrase you hear with restructures, it's smarter to restructure him.
But he would have to agree to that.
Absolutely. No, I know that. I'm just saying with the dead money, it's not a difference too much of dead money to hold than his cap number to hold him. At that point, you restructure that.
Is Darrell Revis willing to take a pay cut, or is he willing to, you know, I have enough money made in this league. I got my championship ring. I can retire.
I love that you only went the retire route, because this is something that I was thinking about on my own. Does Revis call it quits when the Jets are done with him? He's got his ring. He's made a boatload of money in
boatload.
This league. I want to say yes, but I don't want to say yes because there's more milk to come out of the NFL cow for Darrell Revis, and he's shown nothing but wanting to maximize his worth at every step of the road thus far.
To me, he's a money man, and I think no matter if he plays well or not, he makes a lot of money in New York. And to me, I think he takes a pay cut over retirement. And I think that he stays with the Jets.
I hope you're right. I want Revis around.
I think Mac says, okay, listen, Revis, this is your options. We're not going to give you $17 million. You didn't play for $17 million.
And where's he playing next year?
You can either take a pay cut from us, we'll cut you, or you can retire. That's your options.
Okay, but if he's taking the pay cut, is part of that conversation going to safety? Because to me,
I think he has to at this point.
The Darrell Revis we're looking at is not stepping up and even containing his edge, let alone throwing his body around. And if you're playing safety, whether it's free safety, playing center field or not, there's going to be times you got to come up in that box and make a stick.
I totally get that, and he hasn't played that position yet. But do we really want him to be the liability against receivers that are not even ranked?
He's not a liability if you use him correctly.
He is playing right now against players that are not even ranked, and they're burning him. I'm not saying Terrell Pryor is a freak.
Terrell Pryor, thank you. That's the exact word I was about to use.
He's a freak, but he's making Revis look like Revis didn't do it before. Goodwin, blow him out. Yeah, he's a young fly
fastest
route.
Fastest guy in the league.
Exactly.
Olympic track star.
But do we want that next year? Do we want him to go against and do the same thing that he's doing
this year?
No, I don't
want him on Goodwin next year.
I want him to be the last line of defense to make the last decision. I don't want him to be the liability on the one-on-one coverage that he's messing up.
It's crazy to me, though, that I still can't get past the run game. We've talked about
his tackling.
We've talked about him in coverage for weeks now, and I even softened on my stance and then abandoned my stance of he's getting his legs. He's a vet. He couldn't work out. I just don't have an answer right now, and it's ignorant for me to stand behind blind faith, so I have to say it. I don't have any clue as to who the guy wearing 24 for the New York Jets is right now. I don't see any dog. I don't see that fire. You look at that Dallas. Again, we talked about it weeks ago. I don't want to keep going, but you watch that Dallas sound defense against Dez Bryant. That is a different human being.
That's a competitive football player.
Older guy now. That was young pup Revis Island, all that. I get it. The heart, though. That was a different human being that you've seen on that
tape. It's sad to watch it every week. It is sad to watch it every week. And sometimes you see flourishes of what he used to do and getting his hand in there and throwing his body out there. But then you see flourishes of that video that just keeps popping up on all these Jet sites about him not putting effort on the run game.
Bro, I can't even say popping up on it. It's legitimate. You can find it. In every game, sometimes multiple times in a game, he just wants no part of either getting in on a tackle or making the tackle himself.
And to me, him saying the other day that my body's breaking down.
And that's why I think he would be okay with a pay cut. Go ahead.
And I think that for him to say that, for me, it feels like, okay, you don't want to, your body's breaking down, you're not playing well at the cornerback position. Maybe you need a change. Maybe you need to do the Charles Woodson thing. Change over to free safety.
I don't see how this Darrell Revis is even an option in free safety.
I think that you learn the new position and you go out there and you be that ball hawk. You be that last line of defense. I think that he can play better with our defense in that sense.
Now, talking ball hawk and last line of defense, Gilly the Kid. Second straight lead. Marcus Gilchrist comes down with a pick. Pryor made a nice play popping it up. Lorenzo Malden with the dive and interception, Louisville to Louisville. I just look at that opening drive in that first half and I say, how do we get carved up the way we get carved up by teams? I just don't understand. Bust the screen. I wish he was out there against his former boys, but I don't know how much of a difference it would have made. They looked lost in the first half.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to talk about the first half. They I just want to lost. Talk about overall. Overall, they I think that Calvin Pryor is, man, I really thought he was, again, I'll bring it up into another podcast. I'm saying I thought he was going to come in here and be a top five safety in the league. This guy doesn't look, he looks lost half the time.
Yeah, maybe next year. That ship has sailed this year.
I want to put Rontez out there and see what he's got over time. I'm sorry, but it's true.
We know that.
You know, the whole team loves him. He's a leader. He's
supposedly
outspoken.
He was the one that got in guys' faces at halftime and was a voice to be heard coming into that second half.
Because he puts his heart out there,
and you put up 24 unanswered.
puts his heart out there. And I think that if we would see some a consecutive amount of plays for him at the safety position, we might see a little bit better effort than we see out of Calvin, because Calvin doesn't know angles for squat, man.
Okay, but Calvin gives you 100. Calvin gives you 100.
You mean every hit?
Not every play. Calvin's giving you 101, man. I got to give him that. So I won't say a better effort. You'll see a little bit more of a wild man in Rontez, but that's part of the problem. The more you play a guy, the more you expose a guy in this league. So if we like what Rontez Miles is right now,
the more you play a guy, the more you might see some flourishes of greatness.
Hey, it's glass half full, glass half empty.
That's how I see it,
man. I'm not surprised you're on the full side and I'm on the empty side.
I want to see players get out there and learn the NFL. You don't learn the NFL in the practice.
Okay, linebackers. We touched on line. We just did the DBs. Julian, see anything? There it is.
I think that he is good enough to stay on this team. Bruce Carter.
Forget stay on this team. I think he's good enough to where Darren Lee comes back, and Darren Lee has to work himself back into this defense.
I don't know, but for me, I don't know. The dude led the league. Led the team in tackles.
I hear you.
He was all over the place. I don't know how you don't bring that speedy linebacker who makes every tackle have to work his way back in there, where this guy barely made the team. To me, Julian Stranford is a good linebacker. He's making tackles. He's very athletic. I think he's way better than a Bruce Carter option. And I think that going into next year, if Henderson is gone, the hell he went.
I wanted to wait a week, and I didn't bring it up on last week's podcast. Bigger issue than football right now. And we don't know what it is. But I had the privilege to meet the guy a couple times. He's as good as they come, down to earth.
Yep.
It was a feel-good story last year of turning his life around and a little bit of a drinking issue and just a couple things that compounded themselves. And I'm hoping that some demons didn't rear their ugly head or something along those lines, because the only thing that our coach Todd Bowles has said is it's not an injury. He's on the reserve.
Is it the Goodell? Is it the
Goodell illness list?
The Goodell list?
No. That's the commissioner's list.
Okay.
Reserve non-football illness list. Nothing more has been said since, and it's a weird situation. But all in all, it's bigger than football.
Most of the time, they do say that they're going to rehab or whatnot if there is a problem like that.
I just hope that's not the case.
I'm surprised they haven't.
I'd rather it be something dumb like oversleeping and punishment or something. I doubt it is, though.
Getting back to, for me, the middle linebacker position, David Harris, obviously he's a cuttable player this year coming up unless he takes a
tough
cut.
To say, because he's still stuffing that run for you, but it's 2016. This isn't a running league right now.
To me, I still think you keep him next year. But
I agree, but where you were going with Julian Stanford
and Darren
when
Lee
comes back, to me, if there's two linebackers on the field and it's anything outside of second and five or five to go, anything above that, to me, it's almost tempting to go Stanford and Lee on the field and cover a little better.
I think Stanford Lee is the most athletic middle linebackers we have.
I think they would be the most athletic middle linebackers we've kind of had in our lifetime. And that's not saying they're the best or they've dominated. Together, I'm saying.
Oh, I got
having
you.
Two linebackers out there that can do something
3-4,
like that.
In a 3-4,
yeah. I'd be willing to say in the last two, three decades, that would be two of the more athletic linebackers.
Because if Demario came when David was a little younger, I think.
Absolutely.
You know.
And Demario himself, to me, never developed into what he was supposed to.
No, and I think that's even like Stanford looks like, you know, to me, looks like what he should have been. And he's all over the field, and he's making tackles.
See, I said that about Darren Lee earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think
so.
Darren,
we're on the same page.
I think Darren is a little bit more athletic than Demario was, and literally, I think Darren Lee is literally a hybrid player between that strong safety and that linebacker position. For me, Demario is a straight up linebacker. He's that middle captain.
Let's get into special teams.
I'm sorry. What? Before you go into that, I want to talk about Maldon real quick. He had that pick. He had that pick, and I just want to say that he's always out there, and he's hustling, and he's always making a play. I think that he does a good job for us.
He gives us another one. He'll give you everything he's got on every play. We talked about it last week. He has some technique things that need to be cleaned up, and I think he'll start getting to and finishing more if he can get those cleaned up. He's going to give you all he's got, though, when he's out there. Last 2 weeks, he's gotten a lot more burn, and it's good to see, because we need him to be some type of pass rush presence off the edge. We do. We need that, and we're not expecting that from Jordan Jenkins. We're expecting a sack here or there and some solid edge setting from Jordan Jenkins. I need Maldon to be that guy that's pressing the edge. It's essential to this defense. Can we get into the special teams? Because I want to throw up the alley-oop. I want to see if you dunk it home or if you're with me. Jalen Marshall. Jalen Marshall looks lost to me on kick return.
Okay, so this is what I've said to you before the show. I think that, yes, he does stupid things. He doesn't know when to take the ball out of the end zone. He doesn't know when to kneel. He doesn't know when to catch the fair punt. He doesn't know when to let the ball go. Yes, those things he needs to clean up. Other than that, to me, when the ball's in his hands and he's running downfield, he is a hard guy to put down on the ground. He's a hard guy to touch. He's a hard guy to tackle. To me, he's a weapon if he learns those things on when to take the ball in, when to take the ball out, when to fair catch, whatnot.
I think the appearance of Jalen Marshall with the football is what you just said. I don't think it's the reality, though, right now. He's shown flashes of it.
When he gets hit, he doesn't get knocked, bro. He keeps going.
It's just, to me, seeing Nick Marshall taking those snaps to end the game, a CJ Spiller, which is what I said I wanted to throw you up the alley-oop and see if you dunked it home or not, brought in CJ Spiller yesterday. Well, technically going to be bringing in CJ Spiller today, as they have to wait for 4 o'clock because they did Niles Davis dirty. They were awarded this kid on waivers, and he was an insurance policy for negotiations. They were already in talks with CJ Spiller from what I read last night. They just didn't have an agreement in place, so they grabbed Niles Davis and said, you want to come on board or not? CJ Spiller took the deal. As of 4 o'clock today, Davis will be cut. Spiller's coming on board, and I know it's been a favor to you for a while.
I like CJ Spiller, and Chan Gailey drafted him, so there's a connection there, But the issue is that we brought him in before and he didn't sign with us. Now he's going to sign with us. He's going to be our kick returner, I guess. I'm not thrilled. I don't think he sees the ball on the run game. It's whatever at this point. I think we just keep giving the ball to Jalen Marshall and see what he's got.
I don't. So I reward or I commend your blind faith, but I don't. I think CJ Spiller is here to press him.
It's fine. You know, I don't think CJ Spiller makes or breaks this team either way. I think we have bigger issues.
Oh, I'm not saying that, but to me, offensively, a Niles Davis fits a little better with what we're lacking right now with his north-south running and his size. CJ Spiller, to me, is a pass-catching threat out of the backfield, a guy who looks to bounce it outside, won't hit the hole, and I think we have two better running backs on the squad right now.
Now we got three running backs that can catch the ball in the backfield. We can't get them the ball. It's unbelievable.
Can't get them the ball and don't look like we attempt to outside of these wannabe screens we run.
It's unbelievable.
Let's get into this week here. Miami Dolphins in Miami. Their offensive line humming right now. Jay Ajayi throwing up 2 bills a week. Do we stop them? What's your take on it?
I think we win this game. I think it's an easy win for us, actually. I think they come out of
it. I caught myself there and paused. I wasn't looking for a prediction yet.
Oh, I'm not going to give you a prediction yet. I just think we win the game. Okay. I think coming out of a bye week there, they had their high for 2 weeks in a row. They come out of bye week. I think they're again, sushi, like we say down in Dolphin Land. I think we can eat this team up. I don't think there's a problem. I think Ryan Tannehill is not good, and I really hope that Sheldon comes out and disrupts him, because I ain't going to talk about Moe or Leonard because they don't really disrupt anything lately. Sheldon's the only one.
Leonard made a tackle with Cam Irving the other day. Literally made the tackle with the Browns center.
To me, if Sheldon's out there, he's the one disrupting a lot more, and I think that we're just a better team than them. I don't think that we're...
Division game, always tough. You got to take that into account.
No, I do. I just think that we can get this win after getting a good half of a win last week. And I think that it's all on Fitzpatrick for me. If Fitzpatrick doesn't play well, we lose the game. If he plays well, we win the game.
Luckily, we were playing the Browns, so you can get by with a half a win and come away with a full win. You're not going to be able to do that this week. And it's not that I fear the Miami Dolphins. It's just that it's going to be a football game. You cannot start the way we have started football games the past few weeks. You can't do it because you'll be in a hole that you're not coming back from on the road in Miami. Not that that's this rabid fan base, tough place to play, but don't let these boys start believing. Don't do it. Don't put yourself in that position. You know what's in front of you. You know what you got to do to get where your ultimate goal preseason was to get. They're just another team in the way right now. You gotta take care of this game, and then you get on to L.A. Then you gotta take care of L.A. and then we'll hit reset. Until then, you can't truly say, I'm buying in, because they still have to prove it. But to me, that offensive line, the way they're playing right now, is the type of test that this defensive line needs. I know Muhammad Wilkerson's still nicked, but he's hearing everybody talking out there. Sheldon just had somewhat of a weird week, and I really didn't get a chance to voice anything on that. I hate that it comes out that the Jets were making phone calls, because you had that fallback option at that deadline of, what do you want me to do? Teams called us. You don't have that anymore. And leave it to the Cowboys to open up that can of worms, but whatever, we don't got to go there. I think that's a little bit of a shame on you type of thing in negotiation, if you're going to run and allow your room to let that get out to your media. But I hope this isn't the type of thing that unplugs Sheldon Richardson, because we need him this week more than we've needed him any other week thus far.
True that. True that.
Riveting response. I love it. Let's get on our side of the
ball.
All I gotta
say is this game all depends on where the future of our quarterback position goes. For me, every game going forward is,
I disagree. This game starts with stopping Jay Ajayi in the way he's been running right now. That's where it starts. This game then continues with being able to sustain and stick with a running game and be the offense that we were supposed to be coming into the year. And I don't mean explosive-wise. I mean controlling the ball, controlling time of possession, getting first downs, and keeping the best part of our defense, our 300-plus pound linemen, fresh and ready to go.
And you know, we're 3-5. If that doesn't happen, that, to me, is on the quarterback.
We'll be 3-6. If that doesn't happen, we'll be 3-6.
And that means that a quarterback change needs to happen the following week at home against LA.
We've talked about it, and we don't need to go there right now. We have talked about it, though. When's the better time to go to him? I think Bowles has made it evident that if you're not thinking about benching Ryan Fitzpatrick last week at halftime, it answers all your quarterback questions, at least until we're mathematically eliminated. Because there was no excuse for that. And he's not going to tell the media the truth anyway. But just to say it and have the conviction he had behind it, there's no way that shouldn't have been in your thought process. So I don't see how you think a quarterback change would happen, because you'd still be in line to potentially win 9 games. And we're all in agreement that 9 games wouldn't get you in anyway. 10 games might not get us in with our pipe dream that we laid out last week. That might not get us in. But till you're mathematically eliminated, it's not happening, Justin. So get on board.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's nothing. I got a prediction. That's all I could say for this week.
Well, go ahead. I'd like to possibly get into out wide. Kenny Stills. Can he stretch on us the way a Goodwin, like you said before, stretched the field on us?
I think that Jarvis Landry is one of the best receivers in the league.
Devontae Parker on Revis, bust a screen, possibly trying to hold down Landry, like you just said. Though I don't fear them, like I said, they're a formidable foe. They are.
No, definitely. Jarvis Landry is one of the best receivers in the league. Revis has a whole lot on his plate this week. We talked about Revis this whole podcast, about how is he too old or what? So we can find out this week. We will.
Good enough for me defensively. Offensively, I said I think we need to truly commit and run the ball down these boys' throats to really open up anything we can do with Fitzpatrick's arm. The fact that Rashad Jones is out and out for the year for them is big. And before we saw them twice, not rooting for injury, but before we had to deal with them, because I think that kid's a ball player on the back end for them. You still got Sue up front, and when he wants to kick it on, he can. Will he? Because Brian Winters eats his lunch. So I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup again this week. And Mario Williams, to me, is no longer at a point in his career where I'm sweating having to play him. I always sweat when Cameron Wake's rushing out past it, though. Because 33, 34, 35, I don't care. Cameron Wake gets home against us. So our offensive line better be ready to bring it to the table this week. Pass protection, and as I've now said 4, 5, 6 times, and in the running game. And to me, if Breno's going to have a full... He's every snap at right tackle this week. I hope he's ready, because he's going to have to bring it for us.
I hope so, too. I don't want headaches this week.
What's your prediction?
2014 New York Jets.
2014. I'm going 21-20. And I'm not going to say that Tannehill ripped up our defense or anything, but just division game. I don't want to go with too low of a score because the scores have been inflated the last few weeks, at least in my opinion around the league. So I'll go 21-20 Jets and call us homers. Call us what you want. It is what it is. I think we take care of business this week, and I want to see if we take care of business next week because I'd love to have a little bit of breath put into this season, and let's make it a six-game season and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, let's hope twice. Let's hope so.
Before we wrap up here today, we're going to be throwing it to our fantasy guru, Jake Boswell, for this week's Who to Start, Who to Sit, and Who We Like.
Hey, everybody. Jake Boswell here with your fantasy football fair weather focus. Week 9 in the NFL, more than halfway done with this football season and inching ever and ever closer to your fantasy playoff, which means every move is more important than the last. We're going to start this week by talking about a couple people you may have hung on to too long, and it's finally time to let them go out of your starting lineup. We'll begin with Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, has a nagging ankle injury that certainly seems to be hurting his mobility and also his numbers. His rushing yards are way down, has not thrown a passing touchdown in the last 2 weeks. He is someone that everyone believes is an elite quarterback, but the fantasy numbers just don't show it this year. If you have another option, use anyone but Wilson at quarterback, at least for the next few weeks until he can get healthy and prove he is an elite player again like he once was. And sticking with the Seahawks, Doug Baldwin, 14 touchdown receptions last year. This year, only a couple, and also only one game of over 100 yards receiving. He's someone many thought would mold into an elite receiver for the Seahawks this season. It just hasn't happened, and there's too many good receivers out there on the market, both in the waiver wire and also certainly on your bench to play Doug Baldwin, who is averaging around 40 or 50 yards per game. Now, moving on to some players that maybe you've passed aside and deserve a second chance. We'll begin with Dante Moncrief, hurt during week one of the season, made his midseason debut once again this week for the Colts, able to help with a touchdown and 40 or 50 yards receiving. Him and Andrew Luck have had a special connection, really showing off at the end of last season. This season, look for them to keep that going now that he's healthy and playing well. Jack Doyle really stepped in, and you saw his numbers raise quite a bit in Moncrief's absence for the Colts. Look for Moncrief to take a lot of those numbers back and become an elite receiver fantasy-wise, many people thought he could be. And then also, Jordan Howard, running back for the Bears. We've talked about him before this season. He's someone that seemed to be an elite running back last week. He did not play very well and didn't get a lot of carries, to be honest. Kadeem Carey of the Bears was their workhorse, but then this week, on Monday Night Football, he had a phenomenal performance of over 200 yards for scrimmage for the Bears, solidifying his spot as the workhorse for a team that's honestly putting up some decent fantasy numbers from the running back and receiver position. So there you have it. A couple people that you may want to decide to take a second look at, and a few people you need to toss by the wayside. If your team's not doing very good this season, that's what this is all about. You don't have to listen to this. You can read a book. But if you're still on the hunt for the playoffs, take some of this advice and make sure the money you put down in that fantasy league is going to be worth it.
Thank you again this week for tuning in, for downloading. That'll wrap it up for us. As always, you can find us on Podomatic, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, Jeff fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Cow Scouts. Leave us your questions and your comments, and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
A big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, and our man, co-founder, David Schwenderman out there. And another thank you to you, the Jet fans, tuning in. Keep downloading. It's all we can ask for from you. Till next week, guys. Let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast. Audio of the free.